I'm Emma Kennedy of Greenwich Learning and Teaching, recording part one of a podcast for new programme leaders on the Programme Leadership Development Programme. I'm here with Debbie Shepherd, a quality officer in Greenwich Learning and Teaching, in charge of academic quality, primarily for the Faculty of Business, and Dr. Martin Compton, who's a programme leader of about 5 years' experience at the University of Greenwich. So, Debbie, what would you say are the main roles and responsibilities of a programme leader?
I believe that the programme leader has a number of key responsibilities. Firstly, they have to look at the actual structures on their programme to ensure that the structures are correct. They have to work with their module leaders to review assessment deadlines at the start of the year to ensure that there isn't a lot of bunching. And probably their key role is to work with the students during week one, during induction, to get to know their students as best they can and work with their personal tutors to ensure that the students are getting the best experience across their programme of study.
Fantastic, thank you. Martin, do you have anything to add?
Well, it's really interesting the way Debbie's framed that, because, I mean, Debbie's been at the university for quite some time.
Yes.
And, you know, nobody ever really told me what the responsibilities were. And you kind of learn through osmosis. And those first two things that you pointed out there, those structural things, they make perfect sense. And as a starting point, I wish I'd thought more explicitly about that when I became a programme leader. Thinking about, okay, you know, who are my students? How do we get them into the programme? What kind of structures, what kind of assessment load is there going to be? How do I prevent the bunching? All of this kind of stuff. So thinking about the structural integrity of the programme and who's working on it.
And it's important to look at all years of the programme. So you're looking at the complete student journey, not just this is what the level 4 students are going to experience, this is what the level 5 students... It is the whole journey across the whole programme.
Because you do hear stories, don't you, of students saying, we did this in year one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we've done this before, we've covered this before, why is it different? And the answer that's usually unsatisfactory is, well, this is at a slightly higher level. And is it really good use of their time? So thinking about that sort of structural integrity, where if you are revisiting something, that it's a genuine, knowing revisit to it, rather than as just because that's what somebody happens to feel like teaching. So the other one thing I've always wondered actually is how much responsibility as a program leader should I have for recruitment, advising people who want to come on my program, marketing? Do you know anything about that?
I think it varies depending on the type of program, because there are certain programs where the program leader needs to be almost 100% involved because of the type of students that they want on the programme. And so there are programmes where programme leaders actually interview students before they come on. I think they should be involved in what is written about their programmes in the prospectus. So they should be part of the selling of their programme, but I don't think it's their main job. And then depending, again, on the type of students you're looking at trying to encourage, you would work with your marketing department or your overseas sort of collaboration partners, the agencies, to try and ensure that you are targeting the right types of students that would benefit for your programme. So I think you should be aware of how it's marketed and you should have an opportunity to be involved in that. But I don't think it's your main criteria, because I'm assuming our marketing people are aimed at targeting the correct types of students.
So what about registration then? When the students come to register, when do I first get involved with my students, in theory?
In theory, it should be as part of the induction. So you should be 100% in charge of how your induction is run. Registration is normally done by tutorial group. So it would normally be led by the personal tutor, but you'd have an oversight as a programme leader of when your students were due to register. You would have a say in what you did during your induction week, and it might vary again depending on the types of students, the amount of students you've got coming onto your programme. If it's a very small program with 20 students, you can obviously have a much better one-to-one. If it's a program with 250 students coming on, a lot harder to meet and greet every single student, but it certainly would be something that you would attempt to do. You'd obviously get your face out there so that students knew who you were. You'd have your handbooks available so that they know exactly, as program leader, what they can expect of you. But then you also need to be telling the students what you expect of them as studying on your program.
Have you got any other questions? Because I've got one more that I want to ask Debbie while we're here.
I just have one, I guess, thinking about the student journey. So we've talked a little bit about induction and how you make yourself known to students at the induction. How do you make yourself kind of known and present and available to your students on that program throughout their journey?
You'd hope that you were teaching on at least one of the modules in all of the years.
Yeah.
I know for things such as the student satisfaction surveys, program leaders will go into key lectures and talk to their students. So again, that's something that program leaders should be encouraged to do. Within the program handbooks, we advertise availability, contact details, and program leaders would be expected to have their contact details in. Again, their role is slightly different to the personal tutor, but they are a key person on the academic journey of the student. The personal tutor is more possibly about personal issues as well. So, you know, there is a thin line between what a program leader and a personal tutor might do, but it is all in the handbook to hopefully so students can understand who they should be talking to.
So that's really interesting, actually. So my question then is culturally, as an institution, how much agency do program leaders have in terms of their colleagues to direct the work of their colleagues?
Very little, I would say. It depends, sort of, the different departments, I suppose. A big issue is always when we used to do reviews of the curriculum, trying to involve enough people so it wasn't just a programme leader reviewing what had been happening on their programme. And I think over the years that has improved. It's very difficult for a programme leader. They don't have any line management over their colleagues. It's all done on goodwill and pleasantry, I would hope. There will always be issues. But I'm assuming that's what the heads of department or heads of school are for, if a programme leader really hits an issue. But a programme leader is at the same level pretty much as their fellow staff. So.
Great.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm Martin Copton. I'm here with my colleague Dr. Emma Kennedy, and we have the pleasure of having with us Debbie Shepherd, who's a quality officer, and we just want to talk briefly about any new quality assurance processes that program leaders need to be aware of.
Okay, probably the biggest one that has been a benefit to program leaders is we've removed the quinquennial 5-year review process. So they don't have to now produce 2 ginormous documents every 5 years to actually discuss what's been happening in their programme. We're in a position now where they can do an annual review. They're going to be asked to engage in certain fields and certain areas that the university is looking at and talk about it in their annual monitoring, which then will go into a complete portfolio review for each of the faculties or within the schools within the university. And that's taken quite a large load off a lot of programme leaders, because it was quite a hard task to undertake, and often programme leaders were left to do it on their own, whereas now it's much more of a conducive departmental or school-focused type of activity. And then probably the second thing that's changed, we've had some changes in the academic regulations that have come in, and with that, every year we get changes to our progression and award board systems and the ways in which programme leaders actually have to present what they're doing with the student profiles. So particularly we've had the new faculty grade entry process come in for entering grades. Now, although that's not a programme leader's role, that's a module leader or it's an administrative role, the program leader does need to ensure that the marks are getting entered for their student profiles. And they can do this by talking to their module leaders. They will be present at subject assessment panels where the module marks are reviewed. But it's important for them to be able to keep an eye on their overall student profiles. So they will be checking that mark entry is getting undertaken. And then they will then look to the progression and award boards where they present all of the student profiles. This is done slightly differently within different faculties, but the idea is that they will be presenting the best outcomes for their students without actually bringing in any personal awareness. So they have to understand about the anonymity of students. And they have to work with their module leaders prior to the PABs so that they can discuss if they feel there are any issues that should be brought to the attention of a progression and award board. And every year we review the actual regulations. There are some changes coming in the next year that staff will need to be made aware of. But it's something that as a quality officer we try and do on an annual basis. So I visit the business faculty's departmental meetings to give them an update of what's happening. We're looking at removing condonement from the university's regulations within the next year. And condonement would be if a student on an undergraduate programme where the pass mark is 40, if for any reason they had, say, extenuating circumstances, which they had actually failed a course below 30, so it wasn't compensatable, but we felt that the student wasn't going to be in a position to continue, you might condone that failure and still allow the student to either progress or be awarded. That is coming out of our regulations. We're also looking at removing the 2% boundary where the board has discretion to discuss whether or not a student will be pushed up to the next level. And again, the university has chosen to review that case by case and possibly remove some of the discretion of a progression and award board, because we're now looking at the best 90 credits at level 6 and it's an 80-20 split between level 6 and level 5. They felt by the fact that we're discounting probably one of the poor performing modules, by then looking at the 2%, we were actually enhancing even further the opportunities for students to improve their degree classifications.
Is anything happening with GPA?
We did have GPA on the PABs for a while, but it was decided at top line that the university wasn't going to continue with that, so it's now being removed again.
Okay. And when it comes to SAPs, PABs are pre-planned, right?
Yeah.
But SAPs, is that a programme leader who decides when they are?
No, it should be decided by the school or the faculty. Normally, obviously, they have to take place before the progression and award board takes place. And normally, you would hope that there was a bit of a gap between any subject assessment panel and the PAB, because a subject assessment panel can still change grades if they feel that there's a reason or it's warranted to change a grade. Theoretically, as long as you change the cohort, you can't change individual grades of a subject assessment panel, because that would then impact on the PAB. In order to make the change, you want to have a bit of a gap between the subject assessment panel. That doesn't always happen. It does depend on how faculties schedule their meetings.
And how much of a relationship should a program leader have with an external examiner?
They should know their external, who is their program external. I think it's important that they have conversations with their program externals. In some faculties, you have program externals and module externals that might be different people. We would expect module leaders to liaise with their module externals if there were any issues or concerns. A program leader, I think it's absolutely key that they have conversations with the externals that are assessing the work that's happening within their program to ensure that their colleagues are still on the same track and that are doing the correct things.
I suppose just in terms of the relationship between the programme leader and the academic quality union, in what situations would you suggest the programme leader contacts the academic quality officer?
Pretty much, if they're really not 100% sure and they can't find the information or don't understand the information in the regulations or within our website, I think it is important that they do clarify things with the quality officers. We're there to give guidance. We are there to support programme leaders, module leaders, and give advice on various things. Most of us have been in the university for a while, so know where all the skeletons are hidden. But we are there to support, and obviously we actually have quite a lot of say in what is done. So personally, I have to ensure that they submit their annual monitoring report every year. I have to ensure that the externals are being responded to, whether that's by the programme leader or by the head of department. And so, you know, we do have conversations, and, you know, I give a lot of advice before the progression and award boards take place to support the programme leaders if they want any sort of guidance as to what they should be doing.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.